From DTCC, you're listening to Take 5, a bite-sized post-trade financial services podcast that tackles an industry topic or trend in just 5 minutes. Tune in to hear our experts share their perspective on how to grow, protect, and move the global financial markets forward. There's a lot to uncover in 5, so let's start the clock.
Hi, I'm Sean McEntee. I run the matching and agreements business for ITP here at DTCC. Obviously, in that role, the topic of T1 and particularly affirmation is near and dear to my heart. So I'm here today to talk a little bit about the affirmation report that we published in January. So we really published that affirmation report as somewhat of a call to action to the industry, as we really do believe, you know, as we opened with, that affirmation and T1 in general is truly a team sport that will take cooperation across all market participants. So the good news is that in the 2 months since the publication of that report, where we cited a 69% affirmation rate by 9 p.m. on T, that rate has increased to 74.5%. So really a pretty remarkable result in a 2 month window. We'd like to think that, you know, the message, not only in that report, but in all the client outreach that we're doing, is resonating with the industry. And with 83 days to go, you know, we're not resting on our laurels here. We'll continue the efforts, and there's lots of work to be done. So let me start right off the bat by saying that 90%, which we cite in the title of the piece, got a lot of attention from SIFMA and other industry bodies. So we want to be very clear that the ultimate goal is 100% affirmation. The reason we cite the 90% is because that's the affirmation rates that we see today by 11:30 a.m. on T1, which is the current affirmation cutoff. And we feel like any regression from that 90% could translate into settlement fails, which leads to another important point of clarification. We acknowledge that affirmation is not required for settlement, and that in fact unaffirmed trades will not necessarily fail. Unaffirmed trades settle every day today, and that will continue in a T1 environment. Having said that, we do believe strongly, and we've got, you know, the data to support that the affirmation process does smooth out friction in the settlement process and does in fact lead to a reduction in trade fails. And that's supported by a recent press release that we put out with Goldman Sachs, showing that their clients that have adopted the match to instruct workflow, and I'll talk about that a little bit later, you know, they're achieving a 99% affirmation rate with those clients, and that high affirmation rate has translated into a 65% reduction in fails for those M2I clients. Phenomenal results, and that piece has gotten a lot of attention in the industry as well. So with that said, I want to dive into the analysis a little bit. I think we need to start with a recap of why are we even talking about affirmation. It's a result of the 15, what's referred to as 15C62, the piece of the regulation which says that to promote the completion of allocations, confirmations, and affirmations by end of trade date for transactions between broker-dealers and institutional customers. This rule requires that the broker-dealer either enter into written agreements or have policies and procedures in place. And this is where, you know, a little bit of a tongue twister, to ensure that allocation, confirmation, affirmation happens as soon as technologically practicable or by the end of trade date. So again, we acknowledge that you know, our read of the regulation is 100% affirmation by end of trade date. So there's no regulatory penalties, right, for not meeting same day affirmation targets, but we do believe that there are real world implications, including higher costs to settle at the DTC. So, you know, delivery orders, night delivery orders are more expensive to settle than affirmed trades. And probably more importantly, you know, the risk of some sort of regulatory action by the SEC if a broker-dealer is not in compliance with this regulation. So with all that said, I want to dive into the analysis. I jokingly refer with my team to this as kind of the path to 90%. And when I say that, I always have a visual image of John King on CNN on election night moving around electoral votes. So for those of you listening to the podcast, I'll leave you with that image as I walk through this. So really, we break it down into different segments, right, or pockets of parties performing affirmations and the various rates that we see. In the paper, we call out the fact that the highest affirmation rates are on prime broker trades that flow down to CNS. Probably not surprising because the prime brokers see a significant financial benefit of getting those trades into the net, and they get those trades into the net by affirming by the cutoff. So the rate by 9 p.m. was 81%, and you know, already good. And we are aware that two of the top 10 prime brokers are currently running batch processes after 9 p.m. and are implementing projects to move to a real-time affirmation process. We think that the move of those two to real-time will boost the overall rate from 8 to 10%. So that's a great start towards the 90%. The other area where we have a high degree of confidence is in that match to instruct workflow that I spoke about earlier. We're seeing affirmation rates in the 90s already by 9 p.m. for the clients live on match to instruct. We have a very strong pipeline of clients. In fact, in the last month alone, we've brought over 50 clients live, a testament to the results that we're seeing as it relates to affirmation rates. And we think that continued adoption will lead to an additional 3% increase in the overall affirmation rates by May 28th. So where are the challenging segments? Really two areas. So the biggest challenge that we see is with non-US clients who may not have even been familiar with what affirmation is prior to this regulation. Many of those non-US asset managers rely on their custodians to do the affirmation. And one step further, they're lumped under what we refer to as omnibus trade suite IDs. So the client, the investment manager client, isn't even identified on the trade suite confirm. It's their custodian's trade suite ID on the confirm. When we issued the paper, the rate for that group was 43%. You know, great news. In January, that increased by 8%, a huge leap to 51%. So again, we think that's kind of the message resonating and largely a result of the strong partnership between ITP and our custodian clients who are pushing for their client base to move out from under those omnibus trade suite IDs, get their own trade suite IDs, bring transparency to the whole process. And we think that transparency will boost rates naturally. And we think there'll be a 3 to 4% increase that we can realize there. And finally, we see a challenge with clients that do have their own trade suite ID, leverage the custodian, but may not be on CTM, for example, may not be matching, leveraging central matching, which leads to a delay then in the instruction down to the custodian. You know, we think that with the continued adoption of match to instruct, like I said, and further automation of the upstream, trade instruction process, we'll see another 3 to 4% there. So again, lots of work to be done, but we think there is a path here from where we are today to 90% by 5/28. We're optimistic that goal is achievable, and we appreciate all the efforts of folks, listening to this podcast and across the industry to partner with us to make that happen. So appreciate your time listening to me today, and look forward to providing further positive updates as we move towards May 28th. Thanks.
Thanks for listening. Want to hear more from DTCC? Head to dtcc.com/podcasts or subscribe to our channel on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.